The following is a presentation by Dr. Wayne West, Chairman of the Jamaica Coalition for a Healthy Society, at a recent public forum on the Belize Supreme Court decision, analyses and implications.
I wonder if persons like my father died in 1993. That's just about 23 years ago, 1st of July. If he came back today to find that persons from universities are saying that it is against human dignity to have sex with animals and to do things that are unnatural, he would wonder what has happened to human thought. Because ideas, every time you see action preceding any action, is an idea. And as I consider where we are today in places like the United States and the US and Canada, and how their thinking with respect to human things like human dignity seems so bizarre, I decided to take a little stroll back in time to see the evolution and the progress, or the endowment, really, of Western thought. So I looked at a little thing on the internet. It was called postmodernpsychology.com. So if you want, you can look it up. These are not my original thoughts. So Western thought, beginning from the time human beings came on Earth up to about 1650. Oops, here goes my, what happened there? Yeah, okay, my, up to 1650. Was what was called pre-modernism. The knowledge, epistemology is the study of knowledge with respect to pre-modernism, really, was based on revealed knowledge and authoritarian sources. And the sources of authority in pre-modern thought was revelation. In other words, things like the Bible, church, God. Between 1650s and the 1950s, modernism came along. And in modernism, basically, people started developing what's called empiricism, knowing through the senses, which gradually evolved into scientific empiricism or modern science. That's why if Kinsey is a scientist and Kinsey say, then it must go so. But some science is guzzle science, like what happened in St. Thomas, even when people with professors behind the name produced that science, as Kinsey's science was. The second epistemological approach was reason or logic. It sounds all good, but if your premises are bad, you end up with bad results. So naturally, because science became the way to know truth, there was a shift in the source of authority away from church and politics to university. Now, universities haven't shown themselves to be particularly great on social issues. Some of the chief supporters of communism, which is a failure as an economic system, were universities. So, but it shifted from universities to scholars, professors, and if science said so, it was so. Well, that didn't really work too well. There were two world wars in the early part of the 1900s, and I think it probably shook up Westerners a bit. So they went back from science to what's called postmodernism. And postmodernism is a real hodgepodge. It uses everything, basically. It utilizes multiple ways of knowing. It can include revelation, science, reason, intuition, relational spirit. In other words, basically, this was, if it feels good to you, that is true. It's another way of saying it. So we are in a kind of a post-modernism in terms of Western thought. And from post-modernism, Western thought has now become lunatic and delusional. That Western thought, if you interview students on campus in the United States, and I saw it with my own two eyes, this white man, 6 foot tall, said to a girl, a young lady, who is a college student, I identify as a Chinese woman. Am I a Chinese woman? And that young lady in college couldn't say he wasn't a Chinese woman. So modern thought has come from Western thought has moved from pre-modernism, modernism, post-modernism, lunatic and delusional. So how does Belize Boggery Law fit into all of this? Because law is not made in a vacuum. It is made from some philosophical framework. And if your philosophical framework is lunatic and delusional, having moved from postmodernism, you make lunatic and delusional laws. It's as straight as that. Straight as that. Simple as that. That is why we find things like in the United Nations, all right, which when it was formed, came out of the conflicts of the last centuries. The United Nations is supposed to be a neutral ground. This is the way it was formed to be. Neutral ground for people with different political ideologies to meet, discuss, trash out issues. Based on those discussions, the people's representatives may draw up treaties. Those treaties are signed by the people's representatives. But they don't automatically become law in the countries that the people's representatives belong to. They have to be taken to the parliament and ratified by the parliament or the equivalent. That is how the United Nations was when it was formed. This is how the United Nations is as we obtain. The United Nations now is a political and ideologically activist, secular, atheist institution. It is a politically activist unit. Instead of waiting for the people's representatives to come up with treaties and then take those treaties back to the people for it to be ratified and become local law, the United Nations is interpreting treaties and seeking to enforce their interpretation on states like Jamaica. So you have politicians now. What is supposed to have been neutral ground is now a political activist ground, coming to force illogic and lunacy on people. So the United Nations is the center of ideological activism. And of course, ideology is not neutral. All ideology has a moral perspective. And as a postmodern, secular, atheist, political, ideological activist institution, the United Nations is that way because it comes under significant influence from feminists and LGBT activists. Now, both feminists and LGBT activists have a problem with biology, with the reality of biology. Why is that so? Feminists identified their persecution over millennia with the biological difference between males and females, and they have a point, I mean. But whether the way they go about trying to solve that problem is the way to solve it is a different matter. LGBT activists, of course, have a problem with biology too, because their whole emotional attraction, identity framework is discordant with biology. So what both the feminists and the LGBT activists who have such great influence in the United Nations, in the corridors of the United Nations, are seeking to do is to eliminate biology as a necessary reference point for social organization. Are you with me? The United Nations human rights system is the vehicle that the feminists and the LGBT activists are using to impose their political ideology of the irrelevance of biology on society. So countries like the United States, Canada, UK, they are all operating within this philosophical framework now that biology, male and female, really is not an essential consideration for social organization. You can mix and blend it the way you want to. And guess what? They feel you'll get the same output. And that's where SOGI comes in. Because, you know, we regulate banking, don't we? There are laws for banking, there are laws for business, there are laws for education, there are laws for driving on the road. But the sexual nihilists and anarchists at the United Nations want absolutely no regulation on intimate behavior at all. which is what the boundary law is all about. So the one area of life that you must not regulate at all is intimate behavior. That's why it is below their dignity to have a law that says intimate relationship with animals is a problem, or unnatural intimacy is a problem. It must be nihilism and anarchy. That's the objective. Now, so the Babri law discussion, contrary to what institutions say, like the Gleaner, for example, always makes it a case of peeping into people's bedrooms. And they very well know it's nothing could be further than the truth. It's not about peeping into anybody's bedroom. It's about how the society will be organized. The objective of the nihilists and anarchists in places like the United Nations and the US is to reorder society on the premise that sexual orientation, which really is not defined, it is boundaryless. Whatever you want is so it goes. It's boundaryless. Sexual orientation and gender identity are legitimate and deserve minority status, which must be granted all privileges given to other groups and protected by the state from discrimination by other members of society. The thing about this is that the gay rights movement started in Stonewall, I think, in 1969. But the gay rights movement has evolved. It's no longer a rights movement. It is the imposition of a political ideology about biology. That's what it is. In 1973, the gay rights movement, by picketing, intimidation, etc., and by shenanigans both within and without the American Psychiatry Association, removed homosexuality from the list of abnormalities in the DSM, which is the Diagnostic Statistical Manual. They also used a study by a lady who was a psychologist who was in favor of normalizing homosexuality. Her name was Evelyn Hooker. And once the homosexuality was removed as an abnormality from the DSM, the movement changed from a rights movement to a political ideology of imposing abnormality on the society. And I'll show you something. Ms. Hooker's 1959 paper called The Adjustment of the Male Overt Homosexual was found to be defective both in terms of its research method as well as its research objective. Dr. Thomas Landes, former academic dean at the University of Dallas and former policy analyst at the U.S. Department of Education and author of numerous books and articles, criticized the study because the one thing this study did not do was the one thing it ought to have done, is to investigate the consequences of the intimate activities of homosexuals as opposed to heterosexuals. If you are going to say an asthmatic is normal or a diabetic is normal, you can't examine their toes or their eyes. If it's an asthmatic, you got to examine what? Their chest, their lungs, to find out what is the consequence of their lungs of exercise. This Ms. Hooker study never looked at that. But real life gave us some answers. So that in 1973, the American Psychiatry Association removed homosexuality from the list of abnormalities, and by 1981, as a consequence of the activities of homosexuals in bathhouses in places like San Francisco, in Los Angeles, in New York, the HIV epidemic was upon us. And today, 30 odd years later, the data remains the same. Even in countries like the United States, where President Obama is seeking to impose homosexuality on Jamaica, one in two black men who have sex with men will get HIV during the course of their lifetime, if present trend continues. Now, isn't that crazy? Isn't that lunatic? If one in two persons would get diabetes from an activity, people would stop it immediately. But like I said, lunacy and delusion is present Western tone. And these are some data we have here. And it's not only HIV, it's gonorrhea, syphilis, all these things. Because, listen, a homosexual man can be an excellent computer programmer, an excellent musician, but their problem is in the area of eroticism. That's why they have high levels of disease. But it's not only sexually transmitted disease. This year, a study was done and published in the European Journal of Epidemiology, July 2016. And it looked at Sweden, a place where homosexuality is embraced. And it looked at suicide ideation and attempts at suicide in homosexual and heterosexual couples. And the risk is higher because there is a problem there, psychological. Listen, we are not against people who are homosexuals. All right? We're not. We are against... Well, we discourage behavior, but what we are against is lunatic political and public policies, which these big countries are seeking to impose on us, and which the United Nations is a part of. So we have to make it clear, we are not against people who have challenges. That's a reality. But when you seek to make an abnormality the basis for public policy, and then seek to lock up people if they don't agree, that is lunacy and delusion. Dr. Thomas Landes saw not only that the Evelyn Hooker study was flawed, but that it was used in a most corrupt manner through the American court system to advance the LGBT political ideology. And he made a statement. He said the unquestioning acceptance of authorities on the basis of professional reputation or political correctness threatens the integrity of our legal system. Judges must take greater responsibility for assessing the soundness and accuracy of testimony by so-called experts. Yet paradoxically, such a task is manifestly beyond the competence of the court. This dilemma is the consequence of what? Of the politicizing of the scientific community over the past several decades, particularly in questions of sexuality. The recent exposure of Kinsey's errors indicates just how long researchers have been careless or deliberately misleading in approaching sexual questions, and the widespread acclamation of recent flawed studies proving that homosexuality is inherited genetically is evidence that the problem has only worsened over the years. Do you know, back in 1977, I think when Ireland was looking at removing its Bobby Law, a professor who had my name actually, his name is Professor West, raised the issue of disease among homosexuals, and they said they would remove the Bobby Law because of disease among homosexuals. Well, guess what? 30 years later, HIV is soaring among men who have sex with men in London. It's out of control among men who have sex with men in France. Yeah? It has been increasing among men who have sex with men in the United States. When are we going to learn that you've got to apply standard medical epidemiological advice to say if something has high statistical association with disease, you are advised to avoid it? All right. Now let me just show you quickly. The philosophers, the thinkers in the LGBT political ideology, yes, okay. They have a plan for things like marriage. Here's one. A middle ground might be to fight for same-sex marriage and its benefits, and once granted, redefine the institution of marriage completely to demand the right to marry, not as a way of adhering to society's moral codes, but to debunk a myth. And there are a number of others. I'm being chased out of here. But I want to show you one. Being queer is more than setting up house, sleeping with a person of same gender, and seeking state approval to do so. Being queer means pushing the parameters of sex, sexuality, family, and in the process, transforming what? The very fabric. That's the political objective. Now, hear this. This lady said, in 1972, the National Coalition of Gay Organizations demanded the repeal of all legislative provisions that restrict the sex or the number of persons entering into a marriage unit, and the extension of legal benefits to all persons who cohabit, regardless of sex or numbers. Now listen to this other thing. The Bobby Law stands in the way of these things, because once you make homosexuality normal, which it is not, you gotta teach it as normal to school. Daddy, Papa, and me. Heather has two mummies. You gotta take people like this. The problem with a fellow like this, you know, if Bruce Jenner chooses to become Caitlyn, Well, I mean, that's his business. The problem with this is that if you call him, if you refer to him as he in New York, the New York Human Rights Commission is going to fine you $250,000. So it is the very public consequence of this lunatic and delusion type of way of thinking is that we have to resist. Can you imagine if you refer to Bruce Jenner, by the way, Ebony, what's the name of the big man? Vanity Fair named him a 66-year-old man who was not a woman for one day in his life, the woman of the year last year. Yeah. This is the sort of thing. Children are going to be denied the right to have mother and father in their life. These are the realities. Transgender bathrooms, the gin, you know. That's a gay rights parade. This, as I've come to the end here, this is a 57-year-old man, that's him there, who now self-identifies as a 6-year-old girl. He's been adopted by some people. That is thinking in the United States. That is, I think he's Canadian. This is a 50-year-old war veteran who now self-identifies as a high school female. So they have him on the netball, on the basketball team. This on the female basketball team. A 50-year-old male who self-identifies as a teenage girl. So he's now, you know, we can't afford to let this nonsense come here. We cannot. The baby's ruling adopts Soji, which gives you these kind of public consequences. Sexual orientation and gender identity has not basis for non-discrimination. It is nihilistic, it's anarchist. It is not formed within the Judeo-Christian worldview, which is a logical worldview. It is formed within an atheist secular worldview. So the Chief Justice of Belize has imposed as binding on the majority Judeo-Christian population in Belize a non-binding rule, which was set by, not by a treaty in the UN, by some little committee. The Chief Justice has imposed that on the people of Belize to produce this kind of nonsense that we are seeing happening in the United States. Because he has imposed on them this atheist secular philosophy, which is wholly illogical. So the question is, does the Chief Justice have that type of power? And isn't this judicial activism and tyranny that one man can impose incoherence, illogic, and depravity on a whole people? That's my thoughts.